Welcome, Tributes to Jabbercast, a Hunger Games podcast hosted by JabberJays.net. Today is Friday, January 23rd, 2015, and you are listening to episode 16, Year of the Mockingjay. This is our first episode of 2015, so Happy New Year, everyone. My name is Crystal, and I am joined today by Carla, who is now in...
Panama. Hi, everybody.
And we also have Tash in Australia.
G'day.
And we are joined for the first time by Jennifer in Los Angeles. Hello. Alrighty, so we got the group together to do this podcast because of some big news, which is, yeah. Carla, you can...
I'm just really excited about it. Well, yesterday when the totals for the box office came out, it was officially announced that Mockingjay Part 1 is now the number one movie in the United States for 2014, so
yay!
I'm just, do you know how long I've been waiting for this? Like, even before the movie came out, I was like, God, it's gotta be number one.
Well, it's funny because it was like inching along so slowly, and I know you were watching it. It's like, oh my God, it's so close.
I know. Like, every week I would, like, check, like an update, and it would be like $2 million away, and I'm like, no, just oh. But it's just so cool, because not only does it mean that we get number one this year, but Catching Fire was also number one last year.
Yeah.
So it's all kinds of amazing, because, well, first off, it's the first time a franchise of any kind ever has actually gotten number one 2 years in a row. So that alone is awesome. And then, you know, there's the fact that it's a female-led film, and just that it's YA, and there's so many components that it just makes it so, so cool and so, so significant.
I think it also speaks to the strength of the film, and that it's not just for, like, young kids. It shows that it's for adults. It's for, it's not just for U.S. audiences. It's for international audiences. That its message, like, is so broad-reaching, which is exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
I think
all the critics, sorry, Carla, was calling this, you know, oh, it's a bridging movie. You know, it's the setup, and it still managed to be, you know. So imagine part two. And
yeah,
go
I know.
Three in a row.
I mean, next year is going to be tougher because of the competition.
Yeah.
But I think it will still make like a ton of money, because it has to do better than Mockingjay Bleast, because it is the one that has done the less and the least in the franchise. But I think part two being the last one, it's going to be huge. Of course, there's going to be bigger movies, but just in itself, it's going to be really big.
Yeah.
And you know what I like about it too? It's just the fact that you always take a look at the box office. I watch them every year. So you take a look at the movies that make number one, and they're usually like really big spectacle movies in a way. Like, you know, you have blockbusters, so those are the ones that make the money, and you get stuff like Avengers and Iron Man and movies that you go to see just because they're like huge
and Guardians.
Yeah, Guardians.
Which is the movie that we're watching Mockingjay like slowly climb towards and eventually beat. But I mean, yeah, so no disrespect to Guardians, because I mean, I actually just saw Guardians with Jennifer last month, and yeah, it was fun. It was really fun.
It's nothing against Marvel, because I'm a big Marvel fan. So believe me when I say I have nothing against Guardians or Marvel. I'm just really, really proud that Mockingjay got this far.
Yeah, I mean, we're tributes first, right?
Yeah, of course. But it's just when I think about it, it's because I feel like Mockingjay has a meaning. You know, it's a movie that, okay, it's a blockbuster and it's young adult and whatever, but it's also about politics, and it's having an influence in the world right now. So it's good to see that even a movie that has that follows a theme that is so far-reaching can still make it to number one. So for me, it's just amazing.
I think it's great that it finally, you know, got there, and its persistence pays off. It would look like Guardians of the Galaxy had done so well that and it was basically assured of staying as number one movie for the year.
Yeah.
And there's life in the old girl yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And at the beginning of like when Mockingjay came out, and the first weekend did less than the other two movies
than expected.
Yeah, all the critics were like, "Oh, it's a failure," blah blah blah. And, you know,
yeah,
we're gonna
a really really time. Well like and, earning.
Yeah, I know. And then the estimates just kept getting updated and updated, and oh look, it's going to make higher and higher. And then all of a sudden, it was like they were estimating the exact same number as Guardians had, and I'm like, yeah, we're gonna pass them. That is so awesome.
Well, I mean, like, I guess, like, the whole, like, opening weekend thing comes back to what we were always harping on before, like, episode after episode with the marketing thing, because, I mean, we remember the past year, how frustrating it was to, like, you know, like, wondering, where is the trailer, where is this, where is that, where is Katniss, you know, I mean, we didn't see Katniss until, like, summertime, right? So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, do you guys think that it had, that was a factor in, like, the box office? Could it have been bigger? Or, like, do you think, like, in the end, if they marketed less, that they ended up making more money in the long run? Just because, I don't know, they didn't have to spend that money on marketing, obviously.
Well, I think the marketing, it did affect something. A lot of people didn't know, and a lot of people, because you know the fans are going to go watch it opening weekend no matter what. So you have to market to the people that aren't like really really into it from the start. So I think that was lacking a bit, so people didn't find out it was such a film much later.
Yeah.
And then also there was the critics, you know, the reviews weren't as good as they were for the past two, so that affected.
Yeah.
So people didn't feel like compelled to just rush into theaters to watch it. They would go whenever they had time, blah blah blah, whatever. But you know, there's a factor I keep bringing up when I do updates, and it's just that in 2014 movies, and for me that's a huge deal because opening weekend was lower for Mockingjay than for the other two, but it was almost at a 23% below Catching Fire. And I think a lot of that 23% had a lot to do with just that just people weren't going to the movies as much here. Hopefully next year will be better with all the great movies coming out, but, you know, it is a fact.
Yeah. And I know this is a given here in Australia, there's, like, zero marketing, but I had heaps more people ask me this year, like, oh, is it out yet? And I was like, yeah, you know, I went to see it, like, 2 weeks ago, and everyone's like, oh.
Well, yeah, even my friend that I go with to the movie, we go together, like, we've gone, like, the past couple years, and when I told her, you know, oh, tickets are going to go on sale, can I, you want to go? And she's like, oh, why, when's it coming out? You know, and she's just like, oh, I didn't even know. She's like, and she even told me when we went to see the movie, she was like, you know, I haven't seen it on TV. If you hadn't told me, I would have known it was coming out. And I was like, oh, yeah.
A lot of other people had heard that it was like a bridge kind of a movie where, you know, it didn't have a full wrap up in terms of a story. So I think it kept a lot of maybe like those casual fans were like, you know what, I'll watch that one on DVD and then I'll go see like part two in theaters maybe. For those fans who, you know, aren't diehards.
That's a good point because, I mean, I wanted my husband to go with me, right, obviously. And so when I told him, he's like, this is part one, right? And I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I'll just wait till next year. And I was like, no, you're going.
Coming in. Coming on. Really good point. People just go, okay, we're going to go to the movies. And they get there and it's like, okay, what are we going to watch?
Yeah.
Two movies on at this time. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a part one attached to the title, people are going to go, oh, that's half a movie.
Yeah.
And, I mean, as much as I loved Mockingjay Part 1, it did feel like half a movie, right? It had a cliffhanger. It left you hanging and makes you think, like, what? I got to wait another year. So I can see, like, average fans being like, screw this. I'll just wait and watch them back to back. Especially since they have marathons, right? So.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm looking forward to Midnight this year.
Yeah.
I've never gone to a movie marathon like that. I don't know if I could sit in a theater for 8 hours.
Huh?
Honestly.
No. I I mean, I think I could do at most 2 movies, but not, like, all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they have, like, a marathon for part one and part two, but if they only have, like, Hunger Games, Catching Fire, Mockingjay 1, Mockingjay 2, then yeah. I'll be like,
Yeah.
I mean, I love Hunger Games, but I don't know about sitting on my ass watching it all day.
I wouldn't do it in a theater. I once marathoned all the Harry Potter. That was horrible. I mean, it was horrible, but I did it at home, so it wasn't that bad. But
that's a lot of movies.
I know. I think we I don't know, like before noon and finished at like 4 in the morning.
Oh my god.
It was horrible.
That is hardcore.
I know. But, I mean, I could do that with 100 games and it would be less time.
True.
Not in the theater.
So next, I mean, this year we're gonna have to start our Rebel Rewind earlier, right? Because we have one extra movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We're gonna need 3 weeks before the movie comes out. It's gonna be cool. I liked our rewinds; they were awesome.
Yeah. You always find something new. Someone always points something out, and you're like, I had never thought of that before.
Right, I know.
Yeah. Even though you're like, I've seen this movie like 15 times, there can't possibly be anything else in here.
I know. Like, it came up during our Hunger Games that, like, you know, at the end when they're fighting with Kato at the top of the cornucopia, You know when Peeta signals for Katniss to shoot at his hand? That took me like 9 viewings of the movie to actually figure it out. Like, believe me, it happens. You might have seen this movie times and you find new stuff. So yeah, cool. And I don't know about you guys, but I walked out of Mockingjay Part 1 feeling like I needed to watch it a bunch more times because I felt like I was missing a lot of things.
Oh yeah.
I mean, not that the movie was missing, but that I didn't see a lot of things. So
I know. Well, the things like, you know, when she's, yeah, we're sure that she says join the rebellion. I'm like, I couldn't find it.
I heard it the first time I saw it, and I was like, I gotta tell everybody.
But then on the other hand, because we'd already found the screen of the dog, you know, most inappropriate moment ever, but it came up with me, oh, it's the dog!
The whole thing just blew my mind. Because that, I guess that leads us to another topic we were going to talk about, which is DVD, unless you guys want to do that later. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about it. It's out soon, very soon.
Yeah, I mean, we just got confirmation of the DVD release date. Yeah, it's
going to be... Catching Fire came out mid-March.
Yeah, around the same time, yeah.
Yeah, it's just now we have the digital...
That's confusing me because I keep seeing February over and I'm like, hang on a minute.
Yeah, that's the thing now, right? It's like early DVD release or early digital release. Really? Yeah.
But have they said that they're going to have the same content on the digital download as they're going to have on Blu-ray and DVD?
I think all the special stuff, like the Target stuff, I think that's gonna just come out with the DVD. I think, like, just the movie is coming out on HD digital release. I'm not sure, but...
I think they have some digital... I haven't read it, but I saw it on Twitter, that some features are coming out, but I don't think it's gonna be the same or all the stuff that is coming out on the DVD. So, you know, it's always worth it to... just buy the DVD if you want to see the special features.
Right. Yeah. That's the fun stuff for me.
Yeah, I know.
The behind the scenes.
I love the Target behind the scenes stuff last year. I thought it was like completely fascinating. Like listening to Nina and Francis talk about like the thought processes they had putting it into the film. That was pretty amazing to watch. So.
I mean, the thing is with these movies, you really do want to get that because you know that the people making the know their material and what they're doing and what they're putting in.
Yeah,
and they know it, so you want to see what they were thinking when they were making it. But you know, it's something that with other movies I don't watch so much. But with The Hunger Games, you know, the whole thing is like, I don't know what, 45 minutes long. I will watch the whole thing because it's so interesting. It's almost as interesting as the movie.
Yeah, I mean, because if you have like your average non-Hunger Games friend, and you talk to them about it, and they say something like it becomes apparent pretty quickly that you know they're not as big a fan as you because they say like things wrong, like they call him Peter or stuff like you know, like little things like that, and it's like you watch like Francis and Nina talk, and you're just like you know that they know the material. You know that, like, if you were to have a conversation with them and you just make some obscure reference, that they would probably get it, you know? So, yeah. They're, like, high-profile Hunger Games friends you would love to talk to.
I mean, because most of the time you watch those documentary-type behind-the-scenes things just to get a feeling of what it's like filming a movie in general. I mean, at least that's why I watch them. But with the Hunger Games, again, it's like Crystal said, it's almost like listening to a friend just fangirling over everything in Hunger Games. It's so cool.
I just wish there were more bloopers.
Has anybody seen the list of actors? Is there? I guess I would have heard something if there were bloopers.
Sometimes in the makings of, you see little bits in the background of them mucking around. Yeah, like, yeah, all these cool set stories about, like, you know, locking them in the tunnel and stuff. I want to see that stuff.
I know.
And you know that stuff exists. It's like, just where is it? Where is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always wanted to see that one they talked about in Catch. The elevator opened, and it was, I think it was Elizabeth and Jan and Josh and whatever, and they're like, they're all dancing in there. So, when they came down the elevator the next time, no one was there on the camera.
Yeah, it has, like, I guess, I don't know. I mean, do you really think they're keeping those for, like, re-release later on?
God, I hope so.
I really hope so, because then that means at least at some point we'll have access to it.
Yeah.
Lionsgate will pay.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll buy it. Just release it and we will.
Like those Harry Potter Ultimate DVDs.
I know.
I think it's like for eight of those films, it's like five.
It's so appropriate. You know, we even got a siren to go with it.
Sorry, guys, my mic cut out, so I didn't get what you guys just talked about.
That's perfect, because there was a huge fire engine that rolled by my apartment.
Oh, okay. Okay, anyway, I just wanted to apologize because of the birds. I don't know if you guys can hear them, but they're squawking. They're on my roof, and we'll just pretend they're Jabberjays.
Yeah, they're Jabberjays. They're providing the background music.
Good plan. Good plan.
Anyway, so we're excited about the DVD release. And we will post any information we can find out about whether, like, you have to purchase a certain thing to get the early download or whatever. But let's move on. We're going to actually hop a little back, because our next topic is about the LA premiere. Because we never actually got to speak to anyone on the podcast about the Los Angeles premiere, and Jennifer was actually one of the three people who we had go to the premiere. We had Jennifer, Grant, and Aaron go. So Jennifer, you want to take it away and tell us what it was like? I mean, that was the first time we ever saw a white carpet, right? So
yeah, first of all, I think that all three of us were so grateful that we were able to be there. It was really overwhelming. And as a prequel, we had gotten to spend a lot of the time leading up to the premiere hanging out with a lot of the other fan sites. So it was awesome to be able to have that weekend in LA just sort of hanging out with other people who are just as geeky about Hunger Games as we are. So it really like got everyone kind of in the mood, I think, which was so fun. so yeah,
fan sites are awesome.
Yeah, everyone's so great and so nice. So I mean, it was like going there with I don't know. I mean, it's fun to go see a movie with people who are fans of it, but it's like going to see it with like 30 of those people who are just as nuts about it. It was really, really cool. Anyways, the white carpet was amazing, and it actually wasn't even a carpet. It was more like a dance floor. So when I saw it, I got nervous for all the ladies who were going to be in these fancy high heels.
Oh my God, I know. I was thinking the same thing.
oh my god, that's the first thing I would do is fall on that. And I actually envisioned, oh, I could just see Jennifer Lawrence having, right? Like, Jennifer moments. Yeah, and the red carpet was huge and really long. All of the fan sites were actually put in part of, like, the background of the red carpet, which is what they call the step and repeat. So we were sort of in the back towards the end of the carpet. So as people were making their way into the theater was when we got to see them. The carpet lasted about 2 hours long. So we were there for a good amount of time, got to see a whole bunch of people come by and do a lot of press. They had a ton of fans as well. They're screaming their heads off.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. Which was so fun. Grant got some amazing photos. He was definitely not shy about calling people over. Anybody who follows him on Instagram saw that he got some really great photos of him with
Willow.
Good on him. We totally shipped them, just saying. They need to stay.
We do. They looked adorable.
They need to start dating.
Yeah, they're so super cute. But he's got some really, really great photos. What else can I tell you? And then, you know, once the carpet started to wrap up, you know, the bigger stars like Jennifer and Liam and Josh had to rush into the theater, as did we. And then the entire cast came up, and Nina and Francis came up to introduce the film, and that was really cute. They actually talked about Philip Seymour Hoffman not being there, which was definitely a sad moment, because you could see that everyone who was up there really was touched by his presence and his participation in the film. So it was a nice moment. Yeah, and then the movie started, and as I had told Crystal,
and then you died. Then we all died.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I was very curious to see what kind of an atmosphere it is, because I've actually been lucky enough to attend other premieres before where it's sort of weird because it's not necessarily fans of the film as so much like Hollywood types and like business executives. So I was kind of curious. They would like really get into it, but luckily I was seated next to Adam, and then right next to him was Courtney from Welcome to District 12, and she
Courtney's such good fun.
I feel like I need to see every movie with her because I was telling Krista, it's just so much fun. She brings so much energy to it all.
I don't know how she has so much energy. It's fantastic.
If you bottle like an ounce of that and take that with you, I feel like you could conquer the world. So it was so great to, like, be there because, you know, like, when Buttercup showed up, she was like, yeah! And, oh, my gosh, another favorite part was when we finally got to see a Mockingjay. Like, super quiet in the theater, right? And then you hear Courtney go, oh, finally! I mean, it was so funny because she just like says what you're thinking, right? Yeah, of course, finally.
It was about time.
Yeah. See, so they need to hire her for, you know, like how they have like the commentary, the DVD commentary version.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh my god,
Courtney version.
But I mean, it was, in that respect, it was so fun because like you could tell that you were in, even though it was like a 2,000 person theater, that everybody that was there actually genuinely wanted to be there and was excited to see the film. They were in on all those like inside jokes, which, you know, I had gone to see it a few weeks later with a friend of mine, and we went in the middle of the day, and it was filled with like grandparents who clearly were there because their kids were like, "You need to see this," you know. And they
Corey goes with his grandparents every year.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're really big fans, so
yeah. Maybe they were there just to avoid the younger crowd. You know, they want to just have like their own age group to hang with.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? That's what probably tipped the box office over the edge.
Yeah.
I know.
Grandparents of the world.
Yeah, Grandma was like, I think it's safe to go now.
Yeah. gosh.
No, seriously, kudos to every grandpa who goes to see the Hunger Games. We love you.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for staying in touch with pop culture.
Yes.
Even if you're a tourist.
Yeah, so that was, I mean, it was awesome to see it in that huge theater with, like I said, just tons of people who are excited to be there. And then I was actually, I'll confess, I was listening to the last episode just to, like, refresh myself. And Crystal had reminded me that at the end, I had thought, like, they're just going to end with, like, the choking scene and that's it, right? So, and it has, like, those few seconds of black where you think, like, oh, the movie's done. And I, like started gathering up my stuff. 8 seconds
was really long.
Yeah. Because we had to turn in our cell phones, and Grant was adamant about being able to get to the post party quickly so that he could talk to Willow again. So I luckily had an aisle, so I was ready to, like, dash out and run up that aisle to get our cell phones and get into the post party. So I was, like, almost, like, ready to stand up, and I was like, oh, wait, the movie's not over yet. So, yeah, so that was actually kind of a pleasant surprise, like, oh, bonus scenes.
Yeah.
And then that's actually how because I was in the aisle, like, running up to grab our cell phones, I missed the very last part of the credits and most of the credits. So I was glad to see it again and be able to sit through all of that. What else can I tell you about? Oh, after grabbing our cell phones, then we headed out to the post party, which was so fun and so awesome. And they really outdid themselves. At the outside of the party, they had they made it look like District 13 after it had been bombed, and there were
with
the real white roses.
Oh, that was so creepy.
It was really cool. And then as people are going in, everyone's, you know, looking for photo ops. So, and we joined in naturally, and, like, kind of walked into, like, all these fake rocks and tried to get photos. I think Grant, like, took 3 or 4 roses. Everybody was taking the roses even before they went into the party.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And then inside, it was super, actually, I had, like, a weird moment. I was like, oh, it's very much like the Capitol in here because there's tons of buffets and lots of food and drink. So, yeah.
Like,
so
how am I going to eat everything?
So, like, the after party, they set up a big tent or something, right? Or is it, like, a...
Yeah, it's technically a tent, but it's part of the LA Live. It's called the LA Live Event Deck.
Okay.
That tent just sort of stays there almost permanently. So whenever they have, like, events down at LA Live, the area, the space where there was the premiere, they just have a lot of their parties there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Samsung had sponsored and was doing where you could take photos with Effies who were dressed up like Effies from District 13, which was super cool. So we I think Grant and Aaron and I got a picture of us with an Effie. And then they had a photo booth later with do you remember in the marketing campaign those really creepy all white?
Yes, like, the statue-like people.
Yes, and it looks like they've got that creepy hair that's like this huge. I don't know. It looks like a wig from like a Dr. Seuss cartoon. So they had two models who were like dressed up like that, and you could go and take your photo with them. It was a little creepy. Grant and I stuck around and we did that. They had some fun things. So, and then it's fun to kind of like wander throughout the party, and there were people from the film who were there, and Grant got more photos of him with Willow and got to make a bomb joke.
No. Bomb jokes. And Willow was like, yeah, I've never heard that one before.
Exactly. It was super cute.
He got to meet her sister too, right? Her twin sister.
Yeah, he got to meet like their whole, like her whole group. And then It was cute. Because she remembered him from last year's premiere. Mm-hmm. So I think he was so excited about that.
That's kind of amazing. I mean, if I was his age and I was at the premiere 2 years in a row and like, you know, like she remembered me, I would flip out.
Freak out.
Yeah.
He kind of was flipping out.
I mean, it's, come on. How can you not? Even at my age, I would totally freak out, I think, if she remembered me.
Yeah, I can totally imagine him doing, like, a silent scream.
It was funny because Aaron and I were in, like, our high heels, and I was like, ugh, I'm just going to kind of sit here and, like, eat a little, and Aaron joined me, and he was so funny. He's like, so you old ladies are going to hang out because I was totally fine with it. I was like, yep, I'm just going to hang out. And he would come back and, like, show us his photos, and it was really cute. I was like, oh, that's so awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So I think in all it was a really good time. We were so grateful to have been there and participated, and all in all, just it was like I said, it was exciting to be able to watch the movie with people who were excited to be there and really were fans. So definitely a special experience.
And you know what else was funny was that like Grant's mom apparently got to meet a lot of people too.
Yeah,
she got to meet Suzanne Collins, didn't she?
Yeah. She did.
I think she did. That was so awesome.
I think Grant was a little bummed because he had his he brought his copy of his Mockingjay book and he really wanted Suzanne to sign it and he was like, "Oh, I should have left it with my mom." So, I know a bunch of other people from other websites and stuff got to see a lot of those people who were at the very beginning of the carpets. So, they got a lot of great photos with them.
I remember Grant was a little frustrated because he was like, I guess because his mom was like, oh, I pretty much got to meet everybody, so have fun. Yeah. And he was like, what?
Yeah, so her ticket got her into the red carpet area, like the fan area in the red carpet, and then into the screening, but not into the post party. And whereas, you know, our thing got us into the red carpet, the screening, and the post party. And yeah. Uh-huh. And so she kept kind of leading up that whole weekend. She's like, well, maybe I'll try to sneak in. And Grant would be like, don't do it, Mom. You're going to be so she's like, I'm going to talk my way into it. I could do it. And after having met Rhonda, I actually believe she could. After we had gotten our phones after the part or the screening was done, and I was like, oh, is your mom trying to sneak her way in here? And he goes, oh, no. She said that she met everyone she needed to, so she was going back to the hotel. She was like, oh, I don't need to. I saw everybody. So
props to her, though, because, I mean, she flew all the way out there just so that he could go. So, yeah. I mean, she deserved that, right? So.
Absolutely. Grant's mom is an honorary Jabberjay.
Yeah. Absolutely. She's great. She was great. So I think overall we had the whole weekend was just fun. Like I said, it's fun to, I don't know, to be part of a community of geeky fandom types and just kind of let your Hunger Games flag fly, as it were. Not have to be apologetic about it.
Okay.
It just makes me feel like someday in the future, we need to all, like, all the Jabberjays, we need to get together and just watch the movies together and then freak out.
It's almost like a mini, I liken it a lot to, like, a mini Comic-Con, like, where it's just, everyone's is there for the same reason, is having so much fun, and you can talk about all the same things, because you have so many things that you love that are the same, so. Right. Yeah, that would be, so fun.
All right, let's actually, okay, so thank you, Jennifer, for visiting and everything. Yeah. It sounds like you had a lot of fun. So let's actually move on to a kind of a sensitive topic.
Controversial,
sensitive, a sore spot, because after Mockingjay came out, I mean, everybody was in love with the hanging tree, right?
Yes.
I mean, it moved all of us. I mean, as fans, we were just like, oh, my God, this song is amazing. She sounded awesome. And we were just like, what was she talking about? That she sounds terrible, right? And
it started climbing the charts.
Yeah, it started climbing the charts. You know, it was up there on it was way past Yellow Flicker Beat on the Billboard chart. I can't remember what it debuted in. It was like something like the 20s, was it? It was pretty 14? High.
No, oh. It was 14 in 14. The UK, but I don't remember US.
Yeah, it was pretty high though, and it climbed decently high too. Towards the end,
it reached number one in iTunes in like a ton of places.
Yeah, too. And it was just breaking records, and we were just so overjoyed and so happy. And then we heard that it was on the radio, and we were just like, "Oh my God, really?
That's awesome!"
And then we heard what they were playing on the radio, and like that joy and happiness quickly turned into something else.
It was like a deflating balloon. It was so funny. It was like, oh. Yeah.
And I mean,
like, I don't want to live anymore.
They still play it on the radio, and every time it comes off, you know, like the first thing out of my mouth is oh. And like my son will be like, what? And my daughter just has to explain, she doesn't like this version, she says it's too fast.
Oh, that's so cute. Thankfully, I haven't had to hear it on the radio. I only heard it on YouTube that one time and then never again. So that's good. It's good that I'm outside the US for that reason. But yeah, it wasn't necessary. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I get that, like, a lot of people like that type of music. And I get that, you know, like, her voice is still, it's still her voice, but they sped up her voice. And then they added in clapping, and they made it sound very, I don't know, I mean, just, it's just not what it was. That's not what we fell in love with. And I know people, like, the opposing side is just, you know, it's just a song.
Yeah, people like to dance. I'm like, but I mean,
how would people feel if, like, you, like, made, like, an upbeat version of, like, Amazing Grace? You know, I mean, it's just like, it there's a tone to it, and it means something because of its tone, right?
Yeah.
And to just change it and make it sound like, you know, something that you can like sing along and dance to in your car or whatever, it's just, I don't know, it's just, it was, to me, it was disrespectful to the content, especially when, like, in the film they're showing people like killing themselves for the revolution. Yeah. And yet, you know, they've turned it into like a, you know, you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I it's not just the Hunger Games thing for me. I mean, of course, I want the meaning that was in the movie to be there. But for me, when you have a song, it might have like the catchiest dance beat ever. But if the lyrics don't go with it, then it's just never going to be a great song in my head. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I keep thinking back to, like, say, Robin Thicke or whatever. Like, you had that one song of his that was really catchy, but when you listen to the lyrics, you're like, ugh, this guy is disgusting. You know, and after that, it's never the same song in your head. And with The Hunger Games, it's that. You watch it the first time in the movie, and it's this amazing, huge, epic, you know, song that just conveys so much about the theme of the movie, and then you give it a dance beat and you just make it another dance song. You know, it's not even a good one, actually. I wouldn't play that at a party. No. You know. So you're taking the meaning of the lyrics away from the entire context, and it's not even that great a song. You know what I mean? So it wasn't necessary, not at all.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessary either. I mean, I feel like if they wanted to play it on the radio, they could have just trimmed off some of the score at the end. Mm-hmm. And then just played it like that. And then, like, later on, like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, they came out with an alternative mix, which is more like the feel of, like, the first Hunger Games soundtrack, where it had, like, mm-hmm. that folksy kind of tune to it. Mm-hmm. And that one actually sounded pretty good. You know, I like that remix because it fit better with the tone of, like, mm-hmm. the districts and Hunger Games in general and the mood, you know? So that one I was okay with. And it's just, I mean, just when, like, my...
just when we thought we were over it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just when we thought that it wasn't stinging as much, they released that DVD trailer with the remix in it. And I was just like, ugh! Here it is again! Oh!
Why does it keep popping up?
You gotta love the radio.
I don't know, it's just so frustrating for me. I mean, is it just because they want this trailer to cater to, like, a certain demographic that loves this remix or something? I don't understand.
I think what we need is we need to find someone who really loves the song so that we can have an honest conversation with them and engage them.
Because I just don't understand.
We don't get it. So somebody out there who loves it, tell us. Come on. Tell us.
I know. Tell us why this is okay. Because to me, it's not okay. I mean,
come on to the next Jabbercast and tell us.
And it's just like when you have it tied along with the visuals, you know, like they have like this upbeat song, like tuned in with like bombings and like people shooting and war, and it's just like, what? It's not mixing right in my head, you know, the visual and the audio. It's just and like the people the people over at Quarter Crawl actually, they made their own version. They remixed it, and they put it in with the original Hanging Tree. And yeah, it was awesome.
It was great.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen that, you have to go watch that, because it makes a world of a difference. It makes it such a different DVD trailer.
The thing is, I keep thinking of that remix as, okay, you wanted to make something so that dance, like people who like dance type music, would be able to listen to it on the radio, right? So I'm just thinking, like, if you're at a party, let's say, and dance music is playing so that people can dance in the party, and suddenly that comes up, and you don't know where it's from, who sings it, you don't know anything, it's just a dance song for you. It's not even, like, I get the feeling that people would just stop dancing. You know what I mean? It's not that great. A dance song. So, like, if that was the idea of it, then I don't think they achieved what they want, and at the same time, they alienate the entire fandom that loved it because of its meaning.
Well,
you know,
see, what I don't understand is the version that people bought, the version that was topping the charts, was right. not that version. So that's obviously not what was selling to people. That's obviously not what people were buying. You know. So I don't understand why they're trying to push that one.
Did it ever actually go on sale, that version?
I have no idea. I didn't care.
we weren't checking, but I remember when it came out, the guy who remixed it said
that it was going to go on sale.
It was going to go on sale. Yeah. And I was like, really?
I actually just recently bought the original score version, and when I did the iTunes search, the remix version had come up. So,
Well, needless to say, that has not made any charts.
Yeah. So I guess maybe we're not in the minority then.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I can really see like DJs wanting to play it and stuff like that, so that it fits in with their regular lineup and stuff like that. But it doesn't make it okay.
I still don't think it would, because I mean, no offense to the guy who made it, but I just don't think it's a great remix at all.
We had a radio DJ comment on my editorial, which, by the way, ended up being our most popular editorial of all time.
Yeah.
the mutation, the Hanging Tree mutation one, if you haven't
read it. That killed our souls. I love that title.
But yeah, so some radio DJ came and commented, and he said that, you know, he liked it, that there can be somber dance music or techno kind of music like that, and that, you know, like, people can't play it on the radio if it doesn't have the same kind of beat as the rest of their songs. But I mean, I don't know, do you want that song on your lineup? I mean, it's about dying.
If it's a somber one, do you really want it? Like, that's what I'm saying. You can't really play it at a party. So, you know.
Like, if you want something from Mockingjay, just play Yellow Flicker Beat. That fits perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in film clip Lord looks song. Like she's on acid.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Lord. I mean, we have
I'm
been
sorry, that
harsh
film clip
her.
Is just messed up.
Wait, yeah, I know.
What did that have to do with anything? She looked like she's on something. Play that at your party, people. That'll get everyone.
Again, no, I mean, just so that people don't bombard us with flames. We do like, we don't terribly mind Lord. We like yellow flicker beads.
Yes, we do.
We're just kind of iffy about the video, but.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't seen the video, watch it and please come back and comment if it made sense to you.
Can I just request now that they end the credits for Mockingjay Part 2 with something Jennifer Lawrence sings?
I don't think they're going to be able to make her sing anything else ever again.
I would have loved Deep in the Meadow or something, because that goes back to one of my initial gripes about the Hunger Games movie. Was, you know, she's singing to Prim. She's singing that song. And she goes, you know the rest. You finish it.
Because she doesn't want to sing. And then they're never going to get her to sing again. So, you know, appreciate what you have right now, because it's the last time you'll ever hear it.
Actually, I wonder who it is that they're going to bring up to... create the part two soundtrack, because obviously that's a big part of their campaign and they must already be thinking about it. So I'm curious. I wonder who it is that they're going to be getting for that.
Right. I haven't bought the soundtrack at all. Such a terrible
fan. Yeah, me neither.
But it just did not appeal in the slightest this year. I'm sorry. I mean, Lord, I listened to Yellow Flicker Beat. I enjoyed that. It's in the car, but... Everything else, I was like,
I don't know. I mean, I didn't have any problem with somebody not important enough curating the first two soundtracks. Like, it was just, you know, the music director, whatever the name is, that did it. First it was T-Bone, and then it was Alexander Batsavas, and I was fine with those two. In the next one, they felt they needed to bring in Lord, because, you know, she's famous and she's very well reviewed or whatever, and, you know, her music is good. I liked her, but I don't think they need a big name necessarily. Hope they're thinking about it.
The soundtracks to Twilight, like, that was, I think, one of some of the first where the soundtrack really had not necessarily so much anything to do with music that was played during the film, and those were so popular, and those weren't necessarily curated by a specific person.
That was the work of Alexandra Patsavas, actually. She did the Catching Fire one, That's pretty much the only thing I liked about Twilight, the music.
So
I wouldn't mind, as long as it's good work, you know what I mean? I think Lord, I mean, as talented as she is, I think it was a miss to have her curate the soundtrack.
I mean, I feel like everybody, after they got the soundtrack, you know, there was this little hole for Mockingjay. And, you know, like, the CD came in and it was a square, and everybody was trying to shove it into the hole, you know, like, it fits, I swear, this is Hunger Games, you know. felt like it went backwards, you know, instead of, like, taking songs that were already relevant, or they sounded, like, you know, like, fitting with, like, the somber tone of Mockingjay, instead they just, you know, like, give free rein to all these people who were like, hey, tag along, you guys, we have a hit with Mockingjay, it's Hunger Games, of course you want to be on, right, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, they just did whatever they wanted to do, you know? And I don't necessarily feel like these people, these artists, appreciated Hunger Games as much as, like, the people wanted them to, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure in their own interpretation, they felt like they were being relevant to the Hunger Games, but that's not how it sounded to me.
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hopefully, on the other hand, next is one. Redemption.
Yeah, hopefully. On the other hand, you have stuff like how Ellie Goulding came out with the... Is it Ellie Goulding? No, wait, who is it? Elastic Heart, is it?
Sia,
yeah. She came out with the song now, and it's like her single, and people are like, oh, this is a great song. And we're like, yeah, it's old. you know what I mean? It's like... Like, I think Sarah was saying that she was reading the comments on the YouTube video, the official one, and everybody was like, yeah, this song is about her father. And she was like, no, it's about Katniss.
Oh, God. Not YouTube comments.
Yeah, I know. It's a bad idea, but it's just funny, you know, that, like, a whole year after she comes out with that as a single, and we're like, yeah, we've heard that before.
I suppose that, like... If you're picking up the soundtrack, like, I don't know that people really, unless you've got an interest in the movie, really buy movie soundtracks anymore.
Yeah.
Or, like, unless you've been, like, I don't know, I'm going to throw out Guardians of the Galaxy as an example. At least you knew if you bought that soundtrack, it would be, like, the songs they used from the movie.
Yeah.
That would be why you would buy it. Whereas, you know, with Mockingjay, it's not the same. Like, I don't know. I just feel like anyone to think that song's new because...
Well, I mean, Guardians is a bit different because it was mostly old music.
I don't know. If you're a casual moviegoer, I don't really think anyone's going to pick up.
Well, I mean, I just want it to be relevant, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, so, like, going back to Twilight, you know the song that they play during the credits? I think it was by Christina Perry.
A Thousand Years.
Like, that song was clearly written for Twilight. Yeah. And it fit the tone, the ending, the finality, and yet, you know, it had, like, this forever tone to it. I thought it was, like, the perfect credit song for their final movie. And I just hope that they would find something like that. You know, something that, like...
Somebody was saying on Twitter a couple days ago, like, what if they play Safe and Sound at the end of Mockingjay Part 2? And I was like, oh! It might fit, but, you know, I want to see something different.
Yeah, something new. Yeah. The Safe and Sound is a little naive.
when you
come to the end of Mockingjay, right?
I mean, but the thing about the end of Mockingjay is you have the babies. So it's kind of, again, trying to keep them safe and whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, I would rather have something.
You don't want to... They're going to want a new release.
They're going to want to reuse... But, you know, a lot of it's actually, I was wondering that does everything have to do with the fact that the movie was so rushed? I mean, I don't think the movie itself felt rushed, but just because they were filming until so late, do you think, I mean, we were speculating that that might have affected the... that might have affected the merchandising, the marketing. But I was wondering if it might affect, I don't know how that works, if it might affect the music part. I mean, I don't think it should, right? Because Lord said that she, like, read the book, so she didn't really need the movie at all, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know, it just stays in my mind, like, if maybe that was the reason, then maybe Part 2 will have it better because they already have everything filmed, hopefully.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard I know this is a little bit off topic, but the Hobbit song that he played a Hobbit in
the Billy Boyd one?
Billy Boyd, yes, that was such a perfect way to, like, wrap up that whole story. I can only hope that we get something like that because that was just so lovely, that song.
I know. It was a good tribute, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But Jennifer...
See, if they can't get Jennifer to sing something, they should ask Willow to sing something, because...
She's going to be dead, though.
Oh, it doesn't have to be Prim. It can just be Willow, right? She can sing about herself.
Oh, God. I don't know. I just hope it's something that actually has the feel of the movie. Because again, as much as I like Yellow Flicker Beat, like I like the song. It's a really good song, and I downloaded it and everything, and it was great. But it did feel a little bit out of place in the credits for me.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, the movie ends the way it ends, and then all of a sudden you have the humming, and it's kind of like, really? So I hope they go with something that really fits the tone. And I'm thinking it should need to be something like softer, I guess, like closer to Safe and Sound in style and in the rhythm, because you're going to end with the epilogue, unless they do credits first and then the epilogue. I don't know.
Finish with a good song, please, Lion King.
Yes. That's all we're asking.
We'll trust Nina and Francis to come up with something good.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can fix
a cat. They can fix a soundtrack.
Maybe they can be like, you know, I don't think they liked it. Can you guys just do something else with the music?
Well, I think that, the music within the movie is up to Francis and to Nina and to the music supervisor. So that's... Yeah. That's the exciting part. So hopefully the music within the movie itself will be something great and fitting.
Yeah, maybe the success of The Hanging Tree will be like, you know, they'll be able to convince Jennifer. It was really good. So. Everybody loved it.
I really don't think so.
She was pretty adamant about not liking that whole experience.
I know. I felt so bad for her because like we read that article about how she was like crying because she was so nervous about it. She like hated the idea of singing, and then he made her sing all day, and then like it becomes like a Billboard hit.
Yeah.
Oh, I can just imagine her just being like, no, this is my worst nightmare.
Everything that girl touches turns to gold.
Seriously.
Even the stuff she doesn't want to.
Yeah.
She just can't help herself. She's awesome. Sorry.
Yeah.
Alrighty, shall we wrap up? Any last thoughts?
No, I just, I hope we start seeing more stuff, like now that the DVD is coming out, because remember, we keep bringing up the marketing, but now, like, after the movie came out, they're releasing all these new stills, and we're all like,
was this a year ago?
In June, you know, so I hope they keep, I hope they keep releasing new stuff, and I hope that they don't just disappear after the DVD comes out.
I know, because that it just felt like we just kind of felt abandoned last year after the DVD came out, and we were just like nothing. We're like, help! Where are you?
Yeah.
We'll just hope for the best, and I'm sure we'll get to see a lot of like sneak peeks of like featurettes and DVD features, and hopefully deleted scenes and stuff like that. We'll get to talk about all of those things. And I mean, they've already hinted at a deleted scene in like a picture, right?
Yep.
So hopefully that's a hint at things to come.
You could have one deleted scene from the entire, like, what you missed in that first Mockingjay Part 1. What would you have?
Oh.
I know what I would have.
Scene.
Huh. I would have Finnick, where Bog says, well, oh gosh, I'm blanking on the exact
line. Underwear one?
Yeah.
So Finnick O'Dare in his underwear, so.
I have to wonder if they hopefully move that to Part 2. I'm still hoping that they just moved it to the second movie.
Well, the thing is, now he has Annie, so it would be really awkward for him to actually be walking around in his underwear.
Yeah, true. It's like, what are you doing? Put some pants on. Annie, where are my pants?
I think if I could pick one, it would have to be the ones that Donald Sutherland mentioned, where he and PETA had like scenes together. I would really like to see that. I hope it's on the DVD.
I know. I mean, you can't tease us like that, and then they.
I know.
Never release it. Come on.
I mean, just the scenes of Snow by himself are amazing. Can you imagine just like Snow and PETA in the same scene? That would be like, oh.
But then again, if we never do get to see it, that would be very President Snow of him.
I know. Yeah. Of course. but I don't know, hopefully they will have some.
Just more. Yeah, don't starve us this year, Lionsgate. We don't like it.
I don't know.
I'm blanking. I don't know what I would have wanted to see. Except for maybe the one that they hinted at, though, with the picture. You know, when Haymitch and Katniss, you know, get a moment alone together, and she says, "I can't believe you didn't rescue Peeta." And he tells her, "I can't believe you left him. You left him alone."
Yeah,
or
something
like that. That's a good one.
Yeah,
it is a good one.
I think a lot of people missed that scene. So, but I don't know. I'm not sure where it would have fit in because of the way that they edited it. So I don't know. Maybe that's why.
But that's such a like a great conversation that encapsulates their
relationship.
Their relationship, absolutely. Yeah. Like the very honest, like, and like once they said it, okay, it's done. We can move on from it. Oh, I love that scene in the book.
I think it was just it was also very telling about Katniss herself because I mean, through the whole movie, she keeps blaming people for leaving Peeta behind, and while. In the book, she also did that, but in the book, she also blamed herself, and yeah. I don't think we saw that as much. So I would have liked to see that scene just because of that. Because
I mean, Haymitch doesn't hold back in holding her accountable, right? So
I know
they don't. That's the beauty of the relationship; they don't hold back on anything with either.
Anything, yeah.
You always know where you stand.
So. Do you think we'll get to see if they had hair flaps?
You know what's
because
so,
I would totally like to see
you know
that.
What's so funny is the other day I swear to God I was thinking we should just find a hat and a wig and I should sew it on and we should like you know give it away as a prize like here's the Haymitch hat with the flaps on it just because there's such a joke already with us right.
Yeah. I know. No, we should make one and like wear it to premieres. It's like, hey, I'm cosplaying as Haymitch here.
You gotta carry around an empty bottle too.
Yeah. You know, now that we touch on the premiere again, I was wondering, I don't know, Jennifer, since you were there, because they have been for the past three movies, they've been pushing the Capitol angle. Very hard for like all the premieres, and even like in Cannes they had like the Capitol party and whatever. What do you think it's going to be like for the next movie? Because it's I keep waiting for them to go to the other side, but they don't.
Well, I mean, they're going to go back to the Capitol in the second movie, so yeah. I mean, they could still stick with it, right?
In the middle of war, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. The decor and stuff with the party outside was a little bit, like, burnt out Capitol, I guess. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what they'll stick with. I don't know. The Capitol's so easy to do only because it's a little bit more exciting, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
you wouldn't want to make it, like, 13, like, a bunker or whatever.
Yeah, I know. You want to attend
You don't want to go to the after party where they serve you mush and turnips.
I know. What about the marketing, though? Because even the marketing in this... for this movie was very, very Capitol. Mm-hmm. Even still, I mean, we did get the BD interrupting kind of thing, you know, the pirate transmissions and whatever, but most, like, the base of it was Capitol.
Well, I feel like the difference, though, this year was that instead of it being, like, more, like, couture and, like, you know, like, fancy stuff, it was more, like, propaganda, which I thought was pretty fitting, so, yeah, I didn't mind it too much.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Especially because I think that at the after party, at least, there was a big push to show the other side. So, yeah. Good stuff. We should have a Jabberjays reunion and come. Everybody can come and see the movie in L.A. There's a park called District 13 that's like walking distance from a really good theater. It's actually a really fun bar, too.
Yeah.
Alrighty, cool. Shall we wrap up then?
Yep.
Yeah.
Alright. We want to thank everyone for listening to episode 16 of Jabbercast, our first one in 2015. Be sure to visit us at our website, www.jabberjays.net. You can follow us on Twitter at at HGJabberJays. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/JabberJays.net and Instagram at JabberJaysNet. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
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 I swear I don't mess it up on purpose.
Bye.